May I make some observations from these examples and from Mrs. Eddy's writings? But in making these observations, I wish to make it clear that all is for the purpose of emphasizing that death is nothing. Nothing really happens in the phase of the Adam and Eve story called passing on, and therefore we cannot stand in awe of it. First, who really won the victory over death in the second example? Of course, those who were doing their work at the bedside were to be commended, but was it not the fact that the patient herself was willing to stay and refused to consent to passing on? Was it not that fact which made it possible for those at the bedside to revive her? She wasn't planning on passing on. She wasn't planning on consenting. If we claim our immortality, rejoice that we understand it, and refuse to recognize death as something, much less planning on it and consenting to it, we cannot die. Second, it would appear that as the individual finds that he can no longer talk to those about him, and seeks those with whom he can talk, he finds loved ones who have gone on before him. I gave as a reference Mrs. Eddy's poem, quote, "Meeting of My Departed Mother and Husband," close quote, to bring to your attention the meeting of loved ones, for Mrs. Eddy surely expected her mother, who had gone on years before, to greet Dr. Asa Eddy. She again develops this point in the textbook. Quote, "There is one possible moment when those living on the earth and those called dead can commune together, and that is the moment previous to the transition, the moment when the link between their opposite beliefs is being sundered. In the vestibule through which we pass from one dream to another dream, or when we awake from earth's sleep to the grand verities of life, the departing may hear the glad welcome of those who have gone before. The ones departing may whisper this vision, name the face that smiles on them and the hand which beckons them, as one at Niagara, with eyes open only to that wonder, forgets all else and breathes aloud his rapture." Close quote. Third, man awakens with the same mortal concept, body, he had when he passed on. Mrs. Eddy develops this point in the textbook when she uses the popular proverb, "As the tree falls, so it must lie. As man falleth asleep, so shall he wake. As death findeth mortal man, so shall he be after death, until probation and growth shall effect the needed change." Close quote. That man still has a concept of a physical body after death, and the same one he had before, is certainly in contradistinction to the old orthodox belief that man becomes spiritual the instant he dies. You will recall that in both illustrations used, the one who passed on took with him his mortal concept of body. Remember how explicit Mrs. Eddy was on this point when she wrote in the Riley letter that if the one passing on were to turn around and look at the chair in which he had been sitting, he would find it empty. She supports this conclusion in the textbook with this statement, quote, "Mortals waken from the dream of death with bodies unseen by those who think they bury the body." Close quote. Notice, she does not say they bury the body, but that they think that they bury the body. Further, in speaking of the body after death, she says, quote, "The human mind still holds in belief a body through which it acts and which appears to the human mind to live, a body like the one it had before death. This body is put off only as the mortal, erring mind yields to God, immortal mind, and man is found in his image. Close quote. Certainly the point that in the dream of passing on, man takes with him his human concept of body, emphasizes the nothingness of death. Should we not then be putting off the mortal sense of the body now by rejoicing in our spirituality, in our immortality? Fourth, those who have passed on waken to know there is no death. In the textbook we read, quote, "Thought will waken from its own material declaration, 'I am dead,' to catch the trumpet word of truth, 'There is no death, no inaction, diseased action, overaction, nor reaction.'" Close quote. Does not this very fact that one takes with him his mortal concept of body make it easy to realize he is not dead? Mrs. Eddy states, quote, "Waking from the dream of death proves to him who thought he died that it was a dream and that he did not die." Close quote. Fifth, this last quotation continues and includes another fact, that a healing can come about quickly after passing on. The entire quotation is given in answer to the question, quote, "If one has died of consumption and he has no remembrance of that disease or dream, does that disease have any more power over him?" Close quote. Mrs. Eddy answered that when he realized he did not die, quote, "then he learns that consumption did not kill him. When the belief in the power of disease is destroyed, disease cannot return." Close quote. Is it not reasonable to believe that man, having lost his fear of death, cannot help but see the nothingness of that which was supposed to have caused it? Without any fear or belief in death or disease, would not man naturally experience healing? Sixth, where have these loved ones gone? They haven't gone anyplace. Where is there for them to go? Do we not all live and move and have our being in the one mind? Where could one ever be except in the realm of mind? It is only our false human concept that a loved one is capable of leaving our sight, that there are states, stages, and planes of existence that would seem to separate them from us. Concerning the passing of Edward Kimball, Mrs. Eddy said, quote, "My beloved Edward A. Kimball, whose clear, correct teaching of Christian Science has been and is an inspiration to the whole field, is here now as veritably as when he visited me a year ago. If we could awaken to this recognition, we should see him here and realize he had never died, thus demonstrating the fundamental truth of Christian Science." Close quote. Let us begin now to rejoice in the fact that we have no misconceptions whatsoever about life never ending. We don't even have a belief that man is capable of passing on or going anywhere. We don't even recognize death as a dream or illusion, because we know that death is non-existent. We are awake to the recognition of all the children of God in the one mind, immortal, perfect. Thus we do not experience the heartbreak of separation, for there is no separation. Seventh, one of the beliefs put off after awakening to the unreality of death is the belief of age. Isn't it reasonable that when one is convinced there is no birth or death, he cannot help but demonstrate that he is ageless? Eighth, the awakening to the unreality of death would be so inspirational, so revealing of immortality, that certainly one would experience rapid spiritual growth. In Unity of Good, Mrs. Eddy supports this thought with a statement, quote, "The dying, if they die in the Lord, awake from a sense of death to a sense of life in Christ, with a knowledge of truth and love beyond what they possessed before." Close quote. You will remember that she said of Joseph Armstrong after his passing that he is wiser today, healthier and happier than yesterday, and that the mortal dream of life has been lessened. I have received much inspiration on the subject of immortality from an editorial by John Randall Dunn entitled "The Spring Song of Christian Science." When I first learned that Mr. Dunn had passed on, I was finding it difficult to keep my thought joyous in the metaphysical work I was doing for my patients. I had been working with a copy of the Christian Science Journal. As I glanced at the book, the thought came to me, I wonder if there is a message here for me from Mr. Dunn. I opened to the editorials, and there was this wonderful message concerning immortality. It was as if he were talking to me. What a comfort! What a joy sent my thought soaring upward when I read these words. Quote, "Certainly, the Christian scientist whom we do not see has awakened to a better, happier, freer sense of things." Close quote. I could readily see that Mr. Dunn would not have me grieve over his departure when I read these words. Quote, "Many grief-stricken men and women awaken in science to see how intensely selfish is sorrow. For when one is hugging to himself a sense of his own loss or anguish, he is not at that moment rejoicing in the freedom and harmony, the spiritual awakening, unfolding in the experience of the Christian scientist gone beyond his vision. So the Easter message of Christian Science to the sorrowing is, rejoice, for man lives, he loves, he knows no sadness, no separation." Close quote. But do we have to go through a dream of death in order to be healed, in order to know there is no death, in order to grow spiritually, in order to demonstrate agelessness? No, no. Christian Science teaches so clearly and unmistakably the immortality of man that we do not have to pass on in order to understand and demonstrate it. We know now who we are, thanks to the Christ truth. We know what we are, and we know what is truly going on. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, never having been born, we are spiritual and perfect and will never die. We know death as utter impossibility because of its complete non-existence. Now are we the sons and daughters of the King, already perfect in being, in thinking, in demonstrating. And we don't have to die to find it out, understand it, or demonstrate it. One of the most powerful truths in establishing the unreality of death is the truth that God, the one divine and eternal life, knows nothing about death. Old orthodoxy indicates that God knows a lot about death, and many Christian scientists have not been radical enough in their repudiation of that old theology. In many old funeral services, you hear the statement, God gives and God takes away. No greater lie has ever been stated than that God takes people in death. One very good Christian Scientist I was talking with during the past year said, "When it is my turn to go, when God is ready to take me, I am ready." That would indicate that God has knowledge of this thing called death. So ingrained is this in the thinking of some people that they are unwilling to give up the knowledge of death for the true knowledge of eternal life. Many believe only two things we know for certain, and that is death and taxes. The very moment people stop knowing this and begin recognizing the fact that God has no knowledge of death, that very moment they will begin to demonstrate over death. In the crucifixion of Jesus, the Jewish rulers were trying to prove that he had a knowledge of evil, and specifically of death. Through his resurrection, I am sure he recognized that God, his heavenly Father, Mother, Principle, knew nothing about death. He saw himself at one with that divine principle, and therefore he knew none of the experiences that were related to death. It was this fact, of course, that enabled him to walk forth from the tomb and demonstrate his dominion over what people called death.